Jesus leads Peter, James, and John up a high mountain. He changes before their eyes, becomes radiant. His clothing are brighter than anything than they have ever seen. Long before this, the eternal Son of God came from his heavenly throne, an even higher up place, to become human. Jesus' divine nature was then veiled from our sight. His equality with God was hidden through his humility and his willingness to become one of us. You might say that this revealing of Jesus' glory on the Mount of Transfiguration is a foretaste of heaven and of the resurrection. It's a peek into the eternal kingdom. Today we get a glimpse of who this Jesus was, is, and will be. At his side, the two great prophets, Moses and Elijah, are there talking to Jesus. He is the one, this Jesus from Nazareth, whom they promised, the Messiah, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And even God authenticates this by saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Jesus leads him up on this high mountain, and Peter, not knowing what to say, offers to pitch three tents, one for each. But it becomes clear that this vision is not meant to last forever. And so the vision ends. Moses and Elijah disappear. Jesus remains alone. And now he's back to his hidden state, his veiled state, where you cannot see with your eyes his glory. And his instruction is to tell no one what they have experienced until after the resurrection of the dead. Jesus leads them up the mountain for a life-changing experience. He now leads them down the mountain, down into the lowlands. He will lead them through the valleys of the shadow of death, even to his own death. He will rise again from the dead, and then they can talk about what they had seen. Because then they will see even more clearly who this Jesus was, is, and will be. Peter, James, and John will see him again in his glorified body, but in the meantime, they are to keep this matter to themselves. But in the meantime, they continue to question, to ponder, to even meditate on what he meant by this rising from the dead. They actually do what Jesus instructs them to do, which is rare in the Gospel of Mark. They go back into the world with the death and resurrection weighing heavily on their minds and on their hearts. I'm always intrigued that Jesus loved the outdoors. He loved to climb mountains. Sometimes he went there alone to pray. Here he leads a select few, these three, to join him. He leads this expedition to help them for their next expedition. He's an experienced and skilled mountaineer and navigator of this life. Hiking mountains is also something I enjoy doing, though I don't claim to be an expert. But one thing that I've learned is that it is much harder coming down a mountain than it is climbing up a mountain. That might surprise some of you, with gravity behind you going down. On the way up, you look forward to the beautiful views that you will see. Every step takes you closer to the promise of this view. And on top, you enjoy this spectacular vision. You gain a unique perspective of this world at this rare vantage point. By the time you reach the peak of the mountain, you have thoroughly worked your muscles. Now is the time to go down. You work a different set of muscles, perhaps, but along with the ones you have already exhausted, now which are sore and are spent, your feet take greater pounding on your way down. Your shoes and sandals rub against your feet and toes, creating blisters. Your toes are numb from absorbing the shock from the hard ground. Incidentally, after the marathon, it's also harder going down the steps than it is going up. It's in our coming down that we really realize the hard work this expedition truly is. We have to return to normalcy. We have to go back to down to the valleys. It would have been nice to pitch a tent and make it permanent on the mountain, at least for as long as we can. But just like he did with Peter, James, and John, Jesus tells us it's time to go back down into the world. But he doesn't just send us. He leads us. He goes ahead of us, just as Jesus does here. Jesus has his own challenges ahead of him. He has another mountain to climb. And that mountain is Calvary. He heads toward Jerusalem. His face, we're told, is set like flint. He goes toward the Roman cross, his death, and his burial. He will go down into the very depths of hell itself. He will bear the weight of the sin of the world. His own life on the cross will be the ransom for our sin. He will overcome all evil, and then he will rise again out of the valley of the shadow of death itself. He will rise again triumphant. And so he sets that other mountain before us. Mount Calvary, Mount Zion. And from that foot of that same mountain, he will rise victoriously from the dead. Another foreshadowing of our transfiguration. For we know that once our journey is done through this life, we too will become as he is when he appears, when we see him face to face, as Scripture says. That is what Jesus tells Peter, James, and John to carry down the mountain, the gospel, the unfolding plan of God's plan in the life and death and resurrection of Christ. He wanted them to question, to ponder, and be strengthened in his death and resurrection before him. This gospel is also the framework of not only the life of Christ, but also the life of the believer in Christ. We realize, too, that we go out into the world to live our lives through difficult experiences that may be ahead of us, the lowlands, the valleys of this life. That's what it means to live in Christ and to die in Christ being our gain. To put our hope and trust in him through all the terrain of our lives. Our confidence and our comfort is in this risen Lord who sends Peter, James, and John back into the world, but also sends us, promising to take us safely to the other side. Incidentally, this is how we also begin our journey through Lent, coming down this mountain with a view to the next mountain, Easter Sunday. We're not the first to make this journey. And even better, we're not alone. We have each other. Peter, James, and John had each other. And even more than that, they had, and we have, the Lord Jesus as our guide and as our companion. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.